blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 268, stanzas 1 through 4. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. 1 through 4 of Psalter 268. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, the first chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 1. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I beseech thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, and that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, when we may read a portion of thy holy word, then we may be instructed by thee, that thou thyself did put thy servant into the ministry before he was, as he did testify concerning himself, in all honesty and truth, a blasphemer, he who did much injury within thy church, and thou, with one word of thy lips, and did stop him in his mad career, and thou didst bring him to his knees before thee, and thou didst shed light in his heart, and that he might see who he was. And then he was in himself no Pharisee anymore, but then he was a publican, one who had sinned against thee, one who had turned his back unto all that was right and good. And it is even he that thou didst count faithful and put into the ministry, in order that he may also be an instrument in thy holy fingers for the writing of thy word. This thou didst inspire him to do, that we also may have thy word in this day for us and for our children, and that thou may bless and sanctify it in that same way, that it may be a means in thy hand for our conversion, we and our dear children. Lord, that thou may then look upon us in this afternoon once again, and that thy Spirit may work a work that we are not able to perform, and that that which thy servant may testify concerning thee and thy strength and thy honor and thy glory, that it also may be the desire of our hearts, and that we also may glorify thee as he that did for us what we would never do, and that thou may raise up those also that may do that labor once again. For we and our children are in need of that same thing. But those means that thou hast instituted, they also must be continued in the days in which we live. Lord, remember us as a denomination, that thou may go before us, and that thou may raise up those who may indeed be stopped upon their way, that might not be strangers of thy work,
and that may be thrust forth into thy vineyard, that they may have to go who are not able to go, and that thou may strengthen those who are weak in themselves, and give wisdom to those who are ignorant concerning this labor. And Lord, that thou may so remember us as a denomination, and those congregations also that are vacant and have no under shepherd to go before them, that thou may look upon all that labor in thy kingdom, also the elders that do read sermons from week to week, that thou may help them, and that thou may bless also those labors in the midst of our denomination, that the truth which thou hast given to us by way of our forefathers, that truth also may be experienced by us and by our children. Lord, then what must we not say that the walls of Zion are so broken down, that we are in such a sad condition because there is so little knowledge of thy truth within, that there is so little experience of those truths, that the knowledge of self that is so limited, that is so superficial, and the knowledge of thee that is so missing amongst us. Then we do not deserve that thou shouldest look upon us. But Lord, could it please thee to take reasons out of thyself when we also have departed from thee as churches in the way of this world, and when our hearts, they have also been drawn after the ways of the world and of Satan, and all the entertainments and the desires of the flesh. Oh, that thou may instruct us with our dear children, that thou may speak once, and then it shall become so different in our heart, whether we are young or whether we are old. And then we shall leave the paths of sin with a desire to walk upon that straight and that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Oh, then the pleasures and the enjoyments of the flesh shall become a burden unto us, and thy house and all that is connected thereto may become our delight, and then thy name will receive glory within our hearts and within the church. Oh, that thou may so look upon us then, young and old, and that thou may look upon the children and the youth. Remember them in the week that is to come, when school will begin once again, that thou may be on the right and the left of all that will instruct them, and that thou may prepare them in the days to come for the labors of their hands in this coming year, and that thou may give strength, that thou may give wisdom, that thou may give courage, and that thou may grant in a special way thy blessing in their midst, when there are so many souls under their care from day to day. Lord, that thou may bless the instruction that is received in thy word at that place, that there may be teachers also that are truly converted by thee, and that this may be evident in the midst of the classrooms, and that the reverence for thee and for thy word and for thy name may be felt and may be experienced, and that the fear of thy name may be found among us, and that it may also be for our children, and that they in the days of their youth might learn the tender fear of the Lord. And wilt thou look upon the administrators, the principals, in the task that is laid upon their shoulders? And wilt thou look upon all our schools in our denomination, that thou may increase the number also of teachers, which are so badly needed amongst us? Lord, that thou may supply for us in our great need. and that thou may bless the efforts that are put forth for the rising generation. Do look also upon those that will not be able to attend our own schools. And thou knowest the reasons for each and every one of them, and where that they will be instructed in the year to come. Lord, that thou may remember them also, and that thou may supply for parents in the instruction of their children. Give us also wisdom and faithfulness in this responsibility that lies upon us, and that we may not only place it upon others, but that we may feel our responsibility ourselves. And when also catechism classes will begin in the months to come, Lord, that thou may look and upon and bless those labors. Wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us in this country and in the countries that are about us, that thou may turn us again, O Lord, to thy word and to thy testimonies, that thou may give that the unborn may be protected again that are in the shelter of the womb, and that place that thou hast given them to begin that new life. And that place of safety, that place of love, that has become such a dangerous place to be in our world. Oh, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy and look upon them in their danger. And that thou may spare their lives. And that thou may not judge us as a nation for the innocent blood that is shed in our midst. When millions of lives are taken at their very entrance into this world, Lord, wilt thou look on us then as nations and turn us again, O Lord, to thee and to thy testimonies. And when in this day, thy day that is desecrated from the east unto the west, oh, that thou may turn us again also in this respect, and thy name which is blasphemed and which is taken in vain publicly by so many mouths. Oh, then it is a wonder that we are not cut off in a moment, and that thou still sparest us from the sword of the enemy. Lord, wilt thou look on us in thy mercy and turn us again before that it is forever too late? Wilt thou look upon all that are in the warfares? Be with all the soldiers that thou may keep them also in their dangerous places. And wilt thou supply for all those that are needy, all those that are handicapped of the body or in the mind, all that cannot see or hear, those that are not able to walk, and those that have difficulties known to thee, supply thou for all that are in the prisons. Lord, thou knowest their place. There are those who are guilty. Oh, give true repentance. Repentance before thee and repentance before men. Then it is possible to be forgiven. And Lord, thou knowest those who are innocent. Oh, give them patience and long-suffering in the trials that are upon them. And that thou would look upon all those judges that have that great task of judging in our land. Lord, wilt thou supply then for land and people. Supply also for us as a congregation. Oh, then there are not only natural needs, but oh, that the spiritual needs of our hearts, which we feel so little of ourselves, and that these may be bound upon our souls, and that from day to day when we receive the blessings of thy hand in this world, that our souls may be drawn by thy goodness unto the true and the living God. Oh, that we could not bear to be without God in this world any longer, and that we may go over this world with the burden of our sin, and that it may be brought before thee in our secret places, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place, the needy that are upon the face of this earth, and that their cry may come up before thee, and that thou may be known to be, experienced to be the living God of the heavens and of the earth. So look upon us in this afternoon. Help us to bring thy word according to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be kept from all error and mistake, and that we may be given to lead our flock as thou wilt have us to go, and that thou mayst so bless thy word for instruction, for rebuke, for comfort as thou seest fit. Forgive thou all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 349, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground, and within thy gates, thou city, grand and fair. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 349. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. That was, congregation, the promise of the Lord to Abram. Many years, a long time before that it actually took place. And then when that time drew near that this promise was to be accomplished, this deliverance of the children of Israel, then it was for them, from their own side, a great impossibility. Israel lay under bondage to a very mighty monarch. That was Pharaoh of Egypt. And they had to experience that they were not able to deliver themselves. Thus it was only the Lord who was able to deliver his people out of his hand. And how will he do it? Well, he will use his servant Moses. Is Moses able to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of this mighty monarch? He is not able. He also has no power and no strength for this in himself. But he will be a tool, he will be a little instrument in the hand of the Lord for this purpose. When the cry of the children of Israel is coming up into the ears of that Lord of Sabaoth, children of Israel are a picture. That was not merely a history, but it is history that has been guided by the Lord himself. It is the history of his people, and it is the experience of his people. That is, that they must be delivered, that they must be delivered from the hand of a very mighty monarch. Do you too still need to be delivered from the hand of this mighty monarch? That is a monarch which is holding the natural man in his spiritual death. When he is working out his own destruction, is there now a cry? Is there a cry that is going up into the ears of that Lord of Sabaoth that you also may be delivered from the bondage of sin? And that the Lord will send this deliverance? And if the Lord will send this deliverance, then he will also use means to do so. And then not only did the children of Israel needed to be delivered by the Lord, but once they were delivered, then they also needed to be sustained by him. What do you think, children? 40 years. Then they had to live in the wilderness. And what shall they eat? And what shall they drink? Do you think that they can bring sufficient with them for 40 years? Say, if we go away for 5 days, then it is already so much. And now for 40 years. Oh, then they cannot sustain themselves. So from their side, that is so impossible. You say, where has it to come from? It must come from the Lord. But how will he do it? He will also use means. And so God's children today also need to be sustained when that new life is given. And when they are delivered out of the bondage of sin, who shall feed them? And when they go through this world, how shall that new life be sustained? How shall it increase? How shall it grow? How shall they be instructed? And the Lord will also use means for this. And this we consider together in our Lord's Day for today. Lord's Day 25. Questions 65 through 68. Lord's Day 25, question 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question 66. What are the sacraments? Answer. The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely in the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Answer, yes. Indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments and that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. Question 68. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Answer 2, namely, Holy Supper, Holy Baptism, and the Holy Supper. So for our Lord's Day, the working and the strengthening of faith. First, faith implanted by its author, the Holy Spirit, that we read in question 66. Second, faith strengthened by the sacraments in question 67. And third, faith directed to the only ground of salvation in question 68. Thus, the working and strengthening of faith. First, faith implanted by its author, the Holy Spirit. Second, faith strengthened by the sacraments. Third, faith directed to the only ground of salvation. Since then, we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. Thus, that has been the subject of our last two Lord's Days. First, the blessing we have considered of actually being made a partaker of Christ and all his benefits. And then, how? How that blessing is received? Namely, as we read here, by faith only. Then last week we have heard of the rebellion of the natural man that is living in our hearts against this manner, against this way, against this doctrine of free and sovereign grace. We have heard that man hates this doctrine. Why? Because of his pride. Because he knows nothing but an old covenant,
because he desires that he may earn this eternal life for himself, that he may receive it by his own merit. But that is impossible, we heard. Why? Because man has become weak through the flesh, because that fall has had an effect upon us. What is that effect, young people? The effect of the fall. Say we have thorns. We have weeds. We have to labor in the sweat of our face. That is the effect of the fall. Is that all? The fall has had a much greater effect upon men. The fall has had a spiritual effect upon men. Not only temporal things, but man has died. Say, I live. Yes, you still live. You still live temporally. But man is dead. Man is dead in his soul. Man is dead unto God. Can we prove that, young people? Only be honest with yourself. And then you ask yourself, you hunger and you thirst. Why? Because you are alive. You hunger and thirst for food in this world. You hunger and thirst for the world. You hunger and thirst for everything that has to do with this life. Did you ever hunger for God? Did you ever thirst for God? Did you ever hunger for spiritual matters? Thus, inside of your heart, you have a testimony of the truth of God's word, that we have fallen dead in spiritual matters. Thus, so impossible to work out our own salvation as we are commanded to do. And therefore that rebellion in the heart of man against this way, because he will not believe that he is so dead that he has no spiritual life. Now what do we read in this question? We read that this inquirer, he has come to agree. He has come to acquiesce with what our instructors are saying. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? You hear it? What? Do not our good works merit, which God will reward in this and in a future life? That was his rebellion. And now, since we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, you hear it, he is no longer rebelling. He is no longer fighting. And it is a great wonder if we may come to bow, if we may come to agree with this way of the Lord. And then we are ready for something. Then we are ready for further instruction. Did the Lord ever make you ready for instruction? That you say, how may I be taught now in the way of the Lord? Because that is what we hear in this question. If that is then so, or not even if that is then so, since that is then so, whence doth this faith proceed? Thus, how is it that, or from whom may I receive this faith? Answer, from the Holy Ghost. Thus, our instructors are showing who the author of this faith is. Thus they show that faith that is a gift of God, that is proceeding out of God's eternal counsel. Thus, faith that is a gift of the covenant of grace. Thus, it is not so, as men today would have us to believe, that if we would only exercise faith, then we will become partakers of that covenant of grace. No, faith is itself a gift of that covenant. It is part of that covenant. And those whom the Lord is looking upon in His mercy, the Lord is also granting this organ, as we heard, this organ of faith, because they will need it. He is granting them this organ of faith because it is only through this organ that they are going to be able to receive the benefits of this covenant of grace. Thus, faith that is reserved for that elect church that is written in that book of life. Then in the divine economy, our fathers call it, so we have an economy in this world, but we have a sort of an economy also amidst the three divine persons. That is, that there are special works that are given to each of the three persons of the Trinity. Then we know that it belongs in a special way to the Father, that He has decreed salvation, that He has thought it out, as it were, that He has willed it, that it belongs to the special work of the Son in that divine economy, that He would merit that salvation for His church. Thus, it is not the Holy Spirit who is suffering and who is dying and who is paying the price, but that is that special work that is belonging unto the Son. And then there is a special work that belongs unto the Holy Spirit, and that special work is in the application. We cannot see Him, children. He is a spirit. The Lord Jesus, when He came in this world, He came as a man. Then He came in the synagogue and everyone could see Him. But the Lord, also in our day, He is present. And He is present with His Holy Spirit. And a spirit is something that we are not able to see. But that Spirit, He is as the wind. We read that we cannot see that wind, but we can only see its effects. And the effect of that Spirit that is upon the hearts and upon the lives of persons. Thus, the particular work of the Holy Spirit to apply what Christ has wrought and what the Father has decreed. However, we read in God's Word that the Spirit is also using means for His labors. That was not necessary. That it was possible for the Holy Spirit to work without any means. It is possible for the Holy Spirit to go from place to place among the individual elect from eternity over the face of this whole world, and to plant in a secret way that faith in their soul. But it is not the will of God to do it so. But His will that is to use means in the gathering of His church and in the salvation of His people. There are times, we know, that the Lord, He is working still without these means. Because in the heart of a little child, we hope, children, that you are also bowing your knees because you are young
But in these days you may hear that there is also a little girl that is lying in the hospital. She is younger than many of you. And then it appears that the will of the Lord is that soon she is going to die. The Lord is still able to heal her. We know that. He has the power to do it. And you may also ask for her. And her mother and her father, they have asked for her too so very many times. But it looks as if soon she is going to die. We do not know when. And so we see that little children, they also can die. You say she is only 3 years old. She cannot understand too much, can she? No. And the Lord, is He able to convert her? Oh, if the Lord would convert her, that would be a greater blessing for her than if she would live. Then if she may die, and then she would not have to suffer any of the miseries of this world. Will you ask the Lord also for this for her? Not only for her, but also for yourself. Thus we see that the Lord, He is able to convert also a little child, even when she cannot understand a sermon. And when she cannot understand about spiritual things, then the Lord is able to work directly in her heart. And therefore, you must pray also for her that the Lord would give to her a new heart. And yet most of the time when the Lord is working, the Lord is working through the means. And what are those means? Our instructors say He works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. Thus, the preaching. Preaching of the gospel is a very special means. That is a means that has been chosen by the Lord. That is not the acting out of the gospel. No, that is the simple preaching of the gospel. Paul says, how shall they call on Him of whom they have not heard? Of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Thus, he says, how can it be? Why does he say, how can it be? Not because it cannot be otherwise. But he says, this is the way that the Lord has instituted. That is, through the preaching of that word. And what kind of preaching? Well, the Apostle Paul says himself that when he came and when he preached, that he did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Thus, it is not in the wisdom of the minister, of the apostle. Regeneration is not something that we can persuade a man unto. No, regeneration and faith, we heard, the author of this is the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the apostle says it is by the foolishness of preaching and that God is saving them that believe. And that is a great comfort to his servants. Why? Because Moses has said, I am slow of speech and I am of a slow tongue. And thus he says, how can I go forward for the salvation of thy church? And we know of Jeremiah, he said, Lord, I am but a little child. I cannot speak. Oh, let not the lack, that lack of gifts, hinder anyone who may have struggles with that holy ministry. No, we cannot convince anyone. Man is in a state of death by nature. And also that church itself is so often in a dead condition. And yet that preaching of the word, how important it is that preaching of the word will still continue.
Why? Because the Lord will still use that preaching for the raising of the dead. Thus, children, young people, parents, will we not also storm that throne of grace, that the Lord would continue to send out servants into His vineyard? Because we see also the need in our own denomination, the great need that is going to become even greater as the years go by in a natural way. Thus, the preaching of the word that is coming to us in an external way, that comes to our outward ear, but now one word. One word, then it is not necessary always, young people, when you say, I cannot understand the sermon, or it is not necessary always that we are able to grasp everything in the house of the Lord. But oh, if one word may be sanctified, then we read in God's word, then the dead, they are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And that is now what we stand in need of, that we are pleading also the Lord that He would give unto us this miracle. And when that church of God gathers, do you know who also is there? That is what the Lord is promising in His word. That where two or three are gathered in My name, there He says, am I in the midst of them. Thus, when two or three of God's children, when there are even, He says, just a few of them, then My Holy Spirit, no, you cannot see Him, children, but then that Holy Spirit of the Lord, He is among them, then He is working among them. Is that then not such a great privilege? When we may gather with God's true church, and when that Holy Spirit, He is among His church with His power, oh, will we never miss then our place in God's house? That we also may seek that one word may be sanctified? But as we have said, it is not only the granting of faith, but also the strengthening of faith. Thus, that word, the preaching of that word, that has a double function. That is that sinners may be born in Zion, and that church of God may be nourished, that they may be fed, that they may be taught, they may be instructed. That is not so with the holy sacraments. Because with the holy sacraments, our fathers say and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Thus, the sacraments are not for the working of faith, but faith is actually presumed in the use of the sacraments. Thus, the sacraments are instituted for the upholding of faith, for the increase of faith, for the upbuilding of faith. We see that in our second thought, faith strengthened through the sacraments. And if faith needs to be strengthened, and if faith can be strengthened, then it is possible that faith is either strong or that it is weak. And we may confirm that by many examples in God's word. If we think only of the heroes of faith, then we may see something of the strength and what that strength of faith the Lord gives to accomplish in this world. There was a great difference in the life of Elijah from one hour to the next, when he is standing upon Carmel, and when he is fleeing in a despondency from that wicked queen. Oh, then it is not always the same in the life of God's children. Peter knew what it was to walk upon the water. Then that faith had to be so very, very strong. Then he did not doubt, but that water was going to hold him up above it. But in one moment, and then he is experiencing also what it is to sink in that water. He knew what it was to cower at the voice, at the look of a maid. And on the other hand, then he knew what it was in the day of Pentecost to boldly preach that name of the Lord Jesus. Did the Lord Jesus notice that faith that can be sometimes strong and that faith that can be sometimes weak? Oh, yes, he did. Because then we read of him helping that faith in the life of his disciples. Then he has admonished them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he has encouraged them not to be faithless, but to be believing. But it would not only be in those days. No, that would also be to the end of the world. That would also be in our days. Because that church that is not different, but that is the same in all ages. Did the Lord Jesus know this? Yes, he did. And therefore, he has instituted the holy sacraments. What are the sacraments? Answer, the sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. The sacraments, holy, visible signs and seals. Thus the sacraments are holy. Thus the sacraments are instituted by whom? They are not instituted by a man. They are instituted by God. And to be holy, that means to be set apart. That they are set apart for a very special use. That is a spiritual use. And thus we read how that these sacraments, they are not to be used just out of form, just out of custom. They are not to be used in a light manner. They are not to be used superstitiously. That is, without understanding, that I only must get my children baptized. And as long as he is baptized well, then I do not need to understand what that baptism signifies. No, those sacraments are not for everyone. For whom are the sacraments? Oh, we have said that in the sacraments, that faith is presupposed. That means that the sacraments are for the use of God's true church. Why? Because when there is no faith, then we don't need and we are not able to have faith strengthened. The sacraments are not for the working of faith, but the sacraments, they are for the strengthening of faith. Thus, faith is presumed. That faith must be there for the proper use of the sacraments. We hope to go into that further when we come to the individual sacraments. But those sacraments we read here, they are visible signs and seals. Why visible? They are visible for the help of God's true church. And who is that church? They are weak human beings. And now that is for the help of faith, that they may have the help of their eyes. We know how and that the spiritual blessings are received. They are received by faith.
And the Lord is giving in the sacrament something that they can see with their eyes, in order that this may be to them a help. Thus there is a sign, and a sign that is a an outward representation that is signifying something else. Thus the Lord shows to their eyes the things that He gives them in the preaching of the Word to hear with their ears. Then they are not only signs, we read, they are also seals. And what is a seal? That is an authentication, that we know something that is truly authentic, that it is real, that it is actually something legal, that it is of the proper authority. And who is the authority here? That is not our government that may give a seal, but it is God Himself. Takes place by His appointment. Thus these signs and these seals, they are representations. And in these representations, He is confirming that grace, that spiritual grace that He is giving unto His church. And in this, He is shedding light. He is shedding light upon the mysteries of His grace, which He is giving within their heart. And He is strengthening them that they may be enabled to receive it, because it is such a difficult thing to receive. And why so difficult to receive? Because of who they are. Because of their unworthiness. Because of the greatness of that gift. It is a gift of grace. And grace is looking toward the unworthy. And when one feels so unworthy of that gift, then it is so very difficult for him to receive that gift. But now to acquiesce, that I also may be washed by Him, that I may be cleansed by Him. Oh, then it is necessary that this may be sealed, that they may know that it is actually from the Lord Himself, so that faith may be enabled to take hold of this very great blessing, though they feel so inwardly that they do not deserve it, but that the Lord assures them that it indeed is for they themselves. Thus a pledge, the pledge of the firmness of that covenant of grace, namely that He grants us freely the remission of sins and life eternal for the sake of my own merit? No, not of my own merits, but for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Oh, can those visible signs, can they increase faith in and of themselves? They cannot. They cannot. But it is because they are appointed of God, and it is when they are sanctified by the Lord that those signs are an help for the strengthening of faith. What did the Lord say to Abraham? Children, the Lord said to Abraham, go out of your tent and look up in the sky. Why? He says, look at the stars. Abraham looked at the stars. And what did the Lord want to tell him? The Lord said to him, can you number the stars? And when you have looked up in the sky and looked at the stars, you know you cannot number the stars. And what did the Lord say to him? Abraham, you cannot believe it. Why can you not believe it? Because from your side it is impossible. You have no seed. You have no children. But just as those stars you cannot number, so great the multitude of your seed will be. What did the Lord do? The Lord used those stars for an help to Abraham, that he may use them as a sign for something else. And it was not those stars that helped Abram, but it was the word of the Lord. It was the fact that the Lord said that just the number of as the number of those stars, so shall thy seed be. Thus it is not the signs. It is not the water of baptism. It is not the bread. It is not the wine. No, but it is that fact that these are also seals, that these are God's institution given to his church, that we may read in his word, that he may swear unto them that he will indeed fulfill his covenant. Let us sing. 368. 1, 3, 4, and 5. Arise, O Lord our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of 368. Lastly, faith directed to the only ground of salvation. In question 67, are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Answer, yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments and that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. Thus, this question and answer, they speak about the object. That is the object to which those, that word of God, the preaching of the word, and also the sacraments are directing faith. And what is that object we read? That is that one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That is the one ground of salvation. Thus, we heard, it does not lie in our own works, nor does it lie in experience itself, nor does it lie in faith itself, although without faith and without experience we cannot receive it, but that only ground, that only foundation lies in that mediatorial work of Christ, because we read there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thus, we spoke to you already about the organ of faith. And we need to bring this now, this afternoon, one step further. We heard about the organ of faith. Thus, as we have a mouth and we have ears and we have nose and eyes and fingers, then we have organs wherewith we can receive things in this world. So there is the organ of faith that needs to be planted to exist in order that we may receive spiritual blessings. Then we said there is also the exercise of these organs. So there is not only a mouth, but then there must be also the mouth does something. The mouth tastes, and the nose smells, and the ears hear, and so on. So that is now the exercise of those organs. And when that organ of faith is planted, that also does something. That organ of faith believes. Now, something so simple that our children can understand it. Children, does your mouth give you nourishment? Will that keep you alive? You say, it will not keep me alive. Nor is it eating that gives you nourishment. What is it that gives you nourishment? It is the food that you eat. Thus, it is not the organ that nourishes you. And it is not the exercise of that organ, the eating, which nourishes you. But it is the object of the eating which is giving you nourishment and which is keeping you alive. It is not your nose. It is not the act of smelling. But it is a particular scent that is either abhorred or that is enjoyed. Thus, that is the object of our smelling. It is not our eyes. It is not the act of seeing, but it is the sight. It is what we see that is either repulsive to us or that is beautiful, that is invigorating us. It is the object, it is what we see, it is what we smell.
Thus it is not the organ of faith which saves the soul. It is not believing, it is not the act of faith which saves the soul. But it is the object of faith. It is what is seen that is saving to the soul. And that object of faith that is received, indeed, without faith, we cannot receive that object. It is spiritual, therefore we are saved by faith. But it is actually the object, it is what is seen, it is what is tasted, that is giving the comfort, that is giving the relief, that is giving the strength unto that soul. And now our fathers speak about that object, and they say, what is that object? What is that special object of faith that is saving to the soul, that is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross as the only foundation of our salvation? Then we have to also be very clear here, because Satan, he is twisting that true doctrine also to bring error. Because then we hear, we have heard that for years, that we must have a Christ-centered sermon. That sounds so scriptural. And we must say that often that is being used in an honest way, often that is well meant. However, we must sadly fear that many desire with it a mere objective preaching of that one name under heaven. That persons believe that the more that name of Jesus that is being repeated within that sermon, that the more that the name of the Lord is being glorified. But it is lacking all that connection to that life of that true church. Thus the relation between that name and what he is doing for that poor sinner that is completely missing. And that God's children are not able to find themselves in such a preaching. No, where is Christ truly glorified? He is glorified in his work. He is glorified in the salvation of his children. Oh, boys and girls, where can we see the power of Jesus? We see the power of Jesus when there is a leper, when there is a blind man, when there is a layman. Thus, these two, they have to go together in order for that name of Christ to be glorified. Oh, he is magnified in what? He is magnified in the healing of that breach between God and our soul. The greatness of the love of God that is magnified over against, it is magnified in contrast to the transgression of his people. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thus further, when we speak about Christ as that only foundation of salvation, then we need to be very clear in what we mean, because there is also another foundation. That is not that foundation that is outside of us, but that is also a foundation in us. That is in the knowledge of our misery. Because when we know this not, then there is no place for this one and only name. No, we must speak with two words. Those words are sin on the one side and grace on the other side. And then there is glory to that one name given under heaven among men. And thus, congregation and young people, oh, we hope that you are listening. Because you are going to hear it in your young life more and more.
And then when it is spoken of a Christ-centered preaching, remember, it can be used in the right way. However, it is often used in a wrong way. And we do not deny, if we understand it correctly, that it must be that there is no other way than that name of the Lord Jesus. But we hope. We hope that you may learn by experience that it does not begin with the Lord Jesus, and it does not end with the Lord Jesus. We did not leave Christ in paradise. We left God in paradise. And God's children are not reconciled unto Christ, but they are reconciled unto God. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit that is instructing a person that he is without this God. That is teaching a person to yearn after his maker, his creator again. And then there comes a time indeed that Christ, he is made precious in the eyes of the people. Why? Why is he made so precious? Because he is the only one that is able to bring me back again unto that God whom I have come to love. Do you understand it? Yes, indeed. It is alone through that one name. However, the Holy Scriptures show to us not one person of a divine Trinity, but three. It is a triune God. And it is going to be to the honor of a triune God forever and forever in every one of those who are redeemed by that blood of this Lamb. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us, for we are foolish, and we need to know the three persons. Oh, we need to know that we have to stand before our judge. We cannot know him unless thou sendest thy spirit. And we need to come to know that mediator also. Oh, remember each and every one of us. Keep us from error in our life. Because we have hearts that are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Glorify thyself. Go with us in the week to come, each one in the labors of our hands. We lay before thee once more the little child. O Lord, remember her. In the week that lies before us, we know not her time. And we know not our time either. Keep us all. Forgive our many sins. Be with us when we are gathered again in this week in thy house in a prayer service for the beginning of our school. Wilt thou help us also in the preaching? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 32, 1, 3, and 4. Lord, hear the right. Regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Send I approval from on high. My righteousness make clear. Thou in the night my heart has tried, nor found it turned from thee aside. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 32.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.